Mental Wellness Life. I am Brooke, and I'm here with my very good friend, Tevya, who is a close friend and confidant, but also is also a fellow entrepreneur and woman business owner. And we have conversations all the time about, you know, just business goings on. And she's been a huge champion for just learning about what it's like for me to live with mental illness. And we've had lots of conversations about it. And I think it's amazing because she's the kind of person that I want to get to, essentially, so that there's education for people who don't necessarily like live with this or live with someone who has mental illness, but especially in the business world, in the entrepreneur world. I recently did a talk about entrepreneurship and mental health. And, you know, there's some pretty staggering statistics that say it's really close to 80% that of all entrepreneurs will be affected by mental health in some way. So when Tevya heard that I was hoping to have people interview, she spoke up and wanted to do this. And so we're going to just have a conversation. And so welcome, Tevya. You are the owner and operator of Coda Bookkeeping. Tell me just a little bit about like how you wanted to get into doing entrepreneurship. And did you at the time know that like, this is going to be fucking stressful? Like, this is going to be the hardest thing. Had you read anything about how stressful it can be and like what you were getting yourself into?
Yeah. So, and thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I think that all of us, you know, if we do our due diligence before we go into entrepreneurship, you read the stories, read that it's not easy. It's very isolating, you know, that it can be very stressful. But living, it's another thing, you know, you always read the other side and it doesn't have a lot of perspective.
Right.
And so being a part of it, living it, you know, day in and day out is just a whole nother level.
Right.
So when I found out about you and your podcast and everything that you're doing, and I think you're so wonderful, I thought it was super important to get more perspective about not just the entrepreneurial side, which I'm getting a grasp on, you know, but to also be more open-minded about those around me. I mean, that statistic is staggering. 80, you know, almost 80% of people, and being an owner, now having employees and looking to, you know, just expand beyond, I need to make sure not having a day-to-day influence, you know, with a mental health, you know, issue, if you will, I need to make sure that I understanding your challenges, understanding what's out there. And so I can, you know, just be a good business owner, be a good, you know, business partner, boss, everything. Because, you know, for why I wanted to do this it didn't start with just entrepreneurship. It started with coming out of corporate and mental health or not, having people seeing them be just miserable.
Yeah.
And of course, if you have mental health issues, that's going to be exacerbated.
Totally.
So I saw how miserable people were and I wanted to step away and create something that was more thoughtful. And being that that is my foundation of being thoughtful, having a really safe space for people to perform and, you know, learn and grow.
Yeah.
Then I have to be more open-minded about, you know, who I'm going to hire and how it's going to affect them. And not only how the stress affects me, but how it affects you. Yeah. You know, we've had conversations that it just, everything is more when you have mental health issues and
so
harder.
Extra.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to have a really open, organic conversation with you for the podcast and find out, you know, how your life and challenges are that much beyond what I am experiencing so that myself and others listening, you know, that are lucky enough, if you will, that this doesn't touch our day-to-day life, that we can be more understanding.
I love it. What's your first question, my dear?
Well, my first question is just kind of open-ended in order to get things rolling. And that would be beyond what we all experience for the day-to-day, the stress, the meeting deadlines, you know, keeping clients happy. How does having mental health issues exacerbate that. You know yeah. what I deal with and what everyone else deals with. How is your bar higher? And yeah. explain that to me as someone who doesn't go through it every day.
I think when you talk about, like, I think I've said this on the episode called Crippling Anxiety, which I touched on it like a little bit, is that there's this sort of second side to me. And a lot of people that have like panic disorder, anxiety disorder, there's this sort of second personality that comes out. And, you know, because everything's kind of a murky, yeah, there's this diagnosis or this diagnosis, but a lot of it has to do with the other, like multiple personality disorder or whatever they call it nowadays, is similar to anxiety disorder, and which that is similar to manic episodes. You know, like everything's kind of all in one, you know, psychotropic issue. But you know, if I have, you know, everything is a stressor in business, because you're constantly putting out fires. It can't all go perfectly. That's why we own businesses, is because we want the problems that it comes with, because then we can solve them. It's mm-hmm. fairly simple. If you think that you're never going to have problems, then you shouldn't go in business. But like specifically, I'll get like an email from a client saying, you know, I'm just not quite there yet with this, you know, whatever it is. And instead of me actually reading it and taking a pause, taking a beat and like, you know, really understanding what they're saying, I immediately think, they're upset with me. They don't like what I'm doing. I think we actually had a specific issue with this 2 days ago when you texted me from your other phone, and I thought it was my other yeah. client. And I don't know why. I think because I saw the picture of her business card when I opened it up, that I just immediately, my brain went, because I already have her number in there.
That's right. I was like, calm down, girlfriend.
I didn't even know. You were talking about some other site that didn't even have anything to do with it. We obviously don't use names on here, but I immediately wrote back with, oh my God, I'm so sorry, that's not loading correctly. And you experienced, that is what mental illness is that I had no control. And then all of a sudden I back and I'm like, oh, it's Tevia. Like, wait, what just happened? And it's almost like it's not a blackout. I knew, like, I was aware of what was happening, but even after all these years, that's the other point too, is to say, I'm, you know, living successfully with it, and I have therapy, and I've gone through all these different things, and I'm on medication, but I still have those reactions, and it's mm-hmm. still almost debilitating. I've lost clients because of it, and I just have to like go forward. But I think it's just
more.
It's just the stress yeah. times 10.
Well, and that's kind of my feeling, is that, you know, I experience all of those things as right. well. Of a right. If a client, if I feel maybe they're unhappy or I'm reading into it wrong, but it's just understanding that your, I guess, ability, your levels,
yeah.
you just have, you can go sky high,
yes.
whereas mine feels high.
Yeah,
but yours might be a spiral,
and it's the actual reaction, or you know, action that you take that you can't get back. Most people, like yourself, or people that maybe just don't have it at that same level, would instinctively stop and read it again, or you know, take a beat. But for a lot of us with, you know, panic disorder and that kind of stuff, it's just like an immediate reaction. Mm-hmm. It's almost physically impossible to take a breath. It's like this adrenaline rush comes up. It's fight or flight. So I think that really it's just a matter of, you know, the inability to, and I guess I've had to accept the fact that there's going to be more times than not where I have to backtrack and possibly go and tell the person, look, I have health issues, and you know, I apologize for the way this works, and maybe they back out, maybe they don't, but it's all about communication. Just like we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, just about yeah. business in general, is that it's all about communication. And thankfully I look at it as just another health issue. So I can say to the person without feeling like I'm making an excuse, I am having health issues, and that's why, you know, whatever happened. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, so talk to me. I want to cover a couple different perspectives. Okay. I want an example of, like, positive interactions and also times that have been negative for you from the perspective of a business partner, from the perspective of being a client, you know, or an employee,
yeah.
And also dealing with a client, because I want to understand, as the, you know, an entrepreneur from my end,
mm-hmm.
how to navigate and be more empathetic to those in my world that may be a client, or maybe I'm their client, or, you know, a business partner.
Right.
I want to understand those roles. And
but I think this is super murky, because you're not going to necessarily know, like, I've got to be the only person in your life that's open and honest about the fact that I have mental illness. Not every client or, you know, employee, or probably a very, very few of them are going to actually present as someone who struggles with mental illness or, mm-hmm. you know, lives with it. And so it's going to be really hard for you to determine. But I feel like what needs to happen is that there's a very clear distinction between someone's personality, because there's personality disorders and there's mood disorders. And, like, you know, we just don't talk about it enough. For you as the business owner hoping to be more sensitive to it, there's just not enough for you to really pinpoint, oh, this person has, you know, seasonal depression, and, you know, this person has, the issue is that you have to be able to determine, like, if someone's just a douchebag and if they really are, like, struggling with something. And I feel like if you're intelligent enough, which you are, you'll be able to determine and make the distinction between somebody who's just an asshole, because that's where this fine line is. Like,
right.
Don't just allow people to, you know, be dicks because you're trying to be as super sensitive as you can. But, like,
actually, that's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
Because about dealing with, are you a dick or do you actually have mental health and I need more empathy?
Right.
I think, and that's kind of where my, I guess, question stemmed, is I don't expect anyone to tell me that,
right.
you know,
right.
Or anyone else, but just being open-minded and aware, like, hey, these responses are kind of odd, or maybe...
Right.
Like, they're too excessive,
yep.
you know, and it's not a big deal. Just being open-minded that there may be something else going on.
Right.
But anyway, so my husband and I watched yep. the movie Joker, and we'd already had this planned. So
right.
it was, like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Because I was already thinking about, you know, what I wanted to talk about and what I wanted to get out there for other people like myself
yeah.
who need just more awareness. And so the first thing I would say is, you know, I think the movie Joker is very relevant
yes.
to what we're talking about, and just being more empathetic in general to those around you.
Right.
But how it ties to this, obviously, is the only difference is in that movie, he was trying to keep a job, but he wasn't an
right.
entrepreneur.
Right.
But in general, it showed from...
Well, wait, because I feel like his... you know, stand-up comedy, that is, and having to, like, market yourself and
true.
Do all of that.
Yeah.
It's interesting how we look at these movies and we look at it, like, in this business sense, like, well, was that really a business that they started? But it was, he had
yeah.
to market himself and he had to believe in himself and then deal with that backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there, that I feel like that
he
part
was
of it,
having
he
to
was
be very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And even as the clown,
right.
if he was not selling himself well as a clown, he wouldn't have gotten more jobs.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, to kind of back up, I feel that's the timing couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's a good visual representation
yes.
of if you don't understand what other people are going through.
Right.
And a good reason to be more empathetic
yeah.
because... you know, not having statistics or anything, I would imagine that people with mental health, although it seems like maybe there's a lot of resources,
yeah.
a lot of people fall through the cracks.
Absolutely.
And just like the issues that he had with the people around him not being open-minded enough to say, hey, he's not running, you know, on the same playing field. He has all these other
right.
issues that are, you know, making his life harder,
yeah,
you know, and to then beat him up or not help him or right. or not care enough. You know, right. someone who is not dealing with mental health might be able to get through some of his challenges that he had or that right. any of us out there have.
Exactly.
And they might be able to deal. Yeah. And someone who's dealing with mental health, you know, those might be one of the things that put him over
right.
or into a panic attack or exactly. what have you. And so I think it's a great representation of just stepping back and saying, you know, I may not think this is a big deal, but I have to be more aware yeah. of how it's affecting someone else.
Or if someone's acting weird. That was something I got out of that was like, mm-hmm. don't be so afraid of it. Just like any other thing. Like if I walked in with a broken leg, you know, it's still a little weird because I'm like on crutches or whatever. You yeah. know, it's just so much more accepted. But you see it and you go, this is different. This reaction that this person's having is different. Mm-hmm. That was definitely an extreme because he was obviously hallucinating and, you know, having
it was off his meds.
Yeah. Yep. That was a big thing for me is like, you know, these things are not, you know, used for me to feel better, quote unquote. It just keeps me level. Like
regulated
and I manage it. And so like seeing that and understanding that that type of behavior and that type of like reactionary behavior that he was portraying is sometimes what it feels like in someone like me in my head. You know, mm-hmm. I don't outwardly portray it, but there are those people out there that have no ability to control it. And that's usually what ends up being the transient population or mm-hmm. the homeless or, right. you know, any of that. That's how society and nature builds that kind of person, just like making a murderer. We're making these people into, you know, schizophrenic, fearful people that don't have any help. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that went on with him in that portrayal of that person. I mean, this is another part of that as an actual actor doing his job and creating something that was so spot on that you have to think to yourself, does Joaquin Phoenix, you know, deal with mental health issues? You know, has he seen it before? Like there's so many facets to it that you just never know. And I think the fact that you want to be more empathetic is the first step, and it's the middle step, and it's almost the last step of like how you can meet that goal of yours to be more empathetic. It's just the awareness that you need to be, but that you also want to be, and that you're accepting of the fact that people may be dealing with something and they don't want to tell you, especially employees, you know? And so like that example I was telling you about an employee I used to have, I don't have direct employees anymore. I just have subcontractors, but, part of the reason why I was not a great boss, and I've said this on other episodes, is because of my like high frustration level, and my mania manifests as anger and, you know, irritation. And so it was like just a festering cesspool of irritation when I had these people working for me that just couldn't do it as well as me. So mm-hmm. anytime they would say anything to me, it would throw me off. And it's like, how unproductive is that? But I, even in my state of mind, I need to be empathetic to people, and I need to be able to realize that like, maybe this is something that they're struggling with. Maybe they're, you know, on a spectrum of some level where, you know, having empathy for an employee is difficult because if they're not producing, if they're not productive in the way that you need them to be, it is way harder to be empathetic because right. you are trying to run a business. So I think there's...
Well, and so that different. Leads into another perfect question is because... Yeah. You know, this whole thing, it all takes two.
Yeah.
It takes my side of being empathetic, but then it also takes your side of being understanding.
Right.
So talk a little bit to, you know, the expectation and also understanding from someone sitting in your seat
yeah.
that, you know, I can be empathetic to the ends of the earth.
Right.
But, you know, how much as the boss, as the entrepreneur, whatever, the client,
mm-hmm.
you know, supposed to give rather than working with someone who might not have these challenges, you know, from your perspective.
Yeah.
How,
me know, as somebody living with mental illness, or me as an entrepreneur living with mental illness, or just in general as a person, as a friend.
As an entrepreneur, you know, say I'm the client.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm building you a website.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what, draw the line for me where, you know, it's acceptable that I've been empathetic. Maybe, you know, you're having issues and so you're not delivering or something, you know?
Right.
I mean, where is that line where I've done my part,
right.
but it's just like having any other employee. They have to come to their part.
Right.
And you can be so empathetic to the point where you're hurting yourself.
Exactly.
And there is that balance where maybe people with mental health issues, we need to be some more empathetic, but how much more?
And that's, you know? That's exactly where this sort of murky line is that you should trust from... I think from knowing me and our conversations, and maybe that's one of the biggest purposes to me doing this is to explain that, like, you know, I'm not telling you to be more empathetic to the point of, like, you know, your business is hurting because of it. Maybe be more understanding on, like, just the communication level, or, you know, maybe just sort of wording things a little, like, just a little less abrasive than maybe you would in general. Like, maybe just understand that that you just need to be a little more delicate. But you shouldn't have to worry so much about dealing with somebody like that because it's their issue. And we should be able to take care of ourselves no matter what to make sure that we are functioning members of society. So... if I want to start a business and I know that I deal with mental illness, then I should get myself to a place where I can function.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes down to, yeah, mm-hmm. but I think if somebody does approach you as a client of yours, or I don't know, it's a really good like thing to discuss, because where is the burden of responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on you as the client? You know, if I'm not producing, it's a business transaction, regardless of what is going on in your personal life. And we've talked about this too, like solopreneurs, they say a lot of times, like, don't bring your personal, you know, into anything, but business is personal. You are the person running the business. You are the person producing
the deliverable.
It's your livelihood. Of course it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't, as somebody dealing with any type of illness, I would say, you know, if I had type 2 diabetes and was having like attacks and maybe had to go to the hospital, that would be a lot easier for you to understand as why I didn't get the thing to you 2 days ago when I said it, mm-hmm. as long as I'm communicating and said, look, I had to go to the hospital. You as my client are going to be like, oh, okay, totally got that. Right.
Right.
But if I said, like, look, I had a debilitating panic attack 2 days ago and I'm still, you know, having a headache from it, you know, that's where that empathy comes in. At least the person's being honest with you and mm-hmm. isn't just ignoring you. And, you know, maybe that's what we're trying to do, is get that stigma, really disrupt that stigma. In the sense that, like, if someone comes to you and says, I had a panic attack, I just need a day, mm-hmm. that you go, okay, I get it.
Right.
I mean, I don't get it, because I don't have, you know, like, meaning you.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand what that's like, but I'm going to be empathetic to that fact. Thank you for communicating with me, you know, however you want to work through it. But, you know, don't just let it go. I mean, if that person's not producing or, you know, doing what they said they were going to do, it doesn't matter what illness they have and they're not communicating with you.
Well, I actually see that being a really interesting and hard challenge for, you know, the community that deals with mental health, because you have the ADA when you have a physical ailment or something measurable, or, you know, And there are things that employers do have to go above and beyond. You know, right. you have to right. have the ramps, or yeah. you have to have whatever. You know, there's bars they do have to meet.
Yes.
If you have hired someone that needs something extra.
Right.
And in the mental health community, because it's not maybe visible or known about or right. have a specific sticker label.
Right.
That, you know, you have these challenges, but it's not as much weight
right.
as, oh, I have a doctor's note that exactly. I have XYZ.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I do personally can, I guess, feel for like the panic attack thing because, you know, I used to get migraines really badly.
Yeah.
And when I would have so severe of a migraine, I mean, yep. I've ended up in the ER a couple times.
Right.
And it can take, I now know, I didn't even know going through it, there was a name for it, but right. there's a migraine hangover.
Yes.
And I would 100%. Have 2 days where I wasn't even functioning. But how do right. you explain to exactly. someone who doesn't know that,
right.
you know, hey, I'm down for literally, I had the migraine and now 2 additional days to recover.
Yep.
And they're like, from a headache,
yeah,
you know, and so I can yep. grasp that a little bit, and totally. I think that's the other.
That's exactly the same. I've even used like excuses. I've told people, look, I was in the hospital because I had like I don't even remember what I said,
but just to try to make it realistic, for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a takeaway for the audience is even if you don't on a day to day deal with this or with someone close to you that does. You can sit down, and if you can make it real for you, just like I was talking about with the movie, it made it a visual. It yes. wasn't just a story, you know, and sit down like I just did and say, oh, wow, you know, I've had those migraines yeah. and all these bad things from that. And although that's not mental health, it makes it more real to go, okay, I can see how right. someone could have a panic attack that then lasts for another day or two to come mm-hmm. out of the spiral or, yes. or a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And just to sit down and say, what can I relate to?
Yeah.
Because as soon as it's part of our own story or relatable, then we can wrap our head around it more.
Right.
And I think that's really important. So one of the main questions that I definitely had was, since you are being more vocal and, you know, good for you and thank you, mm-hmm. because I think it's important for everyone to hear, what has been your experience personally? Have you found, because you're being willing to be more vocal, that you are seeing people be more aware and empathetic?
Yeah.
Or, you know, speak to that a little bit.
And do you mean like in the business world or, 'cause I'll tell you in the right. dating world, no.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other podcast. That's a whole other podcast episode. Yeah.
I'm not even going to go down that. Actually, I did talk a little bit about it in one of them, but it was interesting because when I first started, my roommate at the time, my ex-boyfriend, had said to me, you know, what about when people find out about this and they don't want to work with you? And I was like, well, fuck them. You know, I don't want them as a client. Like, if they don't understand what I'm doing. But I have found that it's been the opposite, that people respect it more. I've even started teaching podcasting to my clients as a, you know, a marketing tool. So mm-hmm. just the technical part of it in that sense has been helpful. When I do talk about it with clients and then they ask like, well, what is it about? You know, and I say mental health, and before I would say, you know, talk about living with mental illness. I think that it just opens up the conversation, not necessarily makes them judge me. But I've found, and I've had other people tell me this, that, you know, it almost makes me more trustworthy because I'm so open and honest. If I'm open and honest about mental fucking illness, how open and honest do you feel like I'm going to be with you on something that I'm really good at, which is, mm-hmm. you know, my professional work? You know, it's almost like this, it's just this trust factor. Like, I'm so open about it. Right. And that I've taken the time to become so self-aware that I can talk about this, that I've found the right medications, I've found the right therapies, that you know I'm going to be thorough. And maybe this is just all me, like, you know, projecting, but I do know that business has not suffered. That's for sure. But whether or not my clients or those people have had more awareness of it, I don't know. I do get a lot of like, oh yeah, I deal with that too. Or, oh, I deal with that too. Because again, 80% of entrepreneurs and a lot of my clients, like, you know, are small businesses. And so it's almost like they find that out and then we connect on an even deeper level. So
for sure,
it's almost better. Yeah, it's so relatable. And even like with you, we relate on a level, but you don't have the same experience as I do. So it's almost this like, I don't know. I think it's kind of amazing. Like if somebody's sort of scared off by it, again, they're not ready for my intensity. And so they also wouldn't be ready for my intensity in business either. So
Feel like the stakes are higher for you?
100%.
And in the way that, you know, I mean, so maybe if entrepreneurship, you know, didn't work for me, you know, maybe I can pivot easier, you know, or be a little bit more adaptable in another situation. I mean, so I definitely consider that in a way that you almost have to deliver and have to up your skill set to make sure that you're delivering in a way so that you don't have to do something else, because you need the lifestyle to be able to build around these extras that you have to consider and schedule and not schedule, but live around.
This is what I was talking to the college students about last week is, you know, I don't particularly look at this staggering statistic of 80%. I just go, yeah, no shit. Like, of course entrepreneurship is going to be more stressful, but also what is the baseline? Because I left my corporate job that I was making a lot of money because of how stressful it was. And so it's the lesser of the two evils. You just have to, you know, you give up one thing for the other, but at least with the corporate job, you are getting a paycheck at the end. So like the money thing is a little less stressful, I guess, or, you know, you just, it's a trade-off, but yes, we have to work harder.
Stress is self-imposed. And so for that reason, I mean, I know my own personal is that, is it high stress? Yes, but it's stress I created and chose.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's a lot different than having an environment you cannot control.
Right.
And no matter what you did, you know, yes, our perspective is important. And you can go into most situations and make them work, but are you going to be happy there?
That is such a good point, Tavia. Like, that's exactly right. People ask all the time, like, well, why would you stay doing something that's so high stress? That's exactly it, because I'm in control of that stress, because I've created it for myself. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I go, well, this is what I signed up for. This is what I want to do. And I don't want to work for somebody else. The stress that this is putting on me is the stress that I want, because you can't get away from it. You know, the book that I consider my Bible is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Have you read that yet? It's so good. You really do. Because he talks about how, like,
you can get it for me for Christmas.
I will. That's the plan. I already have it on order. Yeah. It's already on order.
Prime, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just send you the Kindle. It's like he talks about how we all have problems. Life is just a big collection of problems. But which problems do you want to solve? And which ones do you not want to give a fuck about? Or that you shouldn't give a fuck about? How many fucks do you have to give? Because those are going to go towards the problems that you want to solve. And that's the point of life, is being nice and solving problems and like creating the kind of life for yourself that gives you the problems you want to solve. And I guess I just look at that over the last couple of years. That's what gets me through is, am I going to take on a client that is going to understand my health issues? Or am I going to have to, you know, eat dirt for a while because, you know, and really, really, I don't know, heavily medicate or do something that's going to make sure that nobody knows? You know, those are just choices we have to make as human beings, not just somebody living with mental illness. So,
I think that the people that aren't choosing to speak about it, bet you subconsciously, honestly, are adding additional stress would be my hypothesis.
Yes,
because
exactly.
They're not only worried about living successfully with mental illness, but they're adding a layer of like hiding their true self,
right,
which for anyone is stressful, not to make a mistake or yes. not to step out of line so someone would ask the question,
yes,
oh, do you have an yeah. issue, like give like, yourself is there away a problem? Yeah. So it's almost yes. you know, so I would encourage those out there, honestly, to, you know, own it. Yeah. And, you know, again, like we talked about, do your best to make sure that you are functioning.
Exactly.
And of course, I can't speak to how difficult that is.
Right.
But I think if you are doing your best and you have the ability to put it out there and be honest
yeah.
about it,
yeah.
that there will always be those assholes yeah. that are just not able to wrap themselves around someone else's issues.
Right.
But I think the majority of us, you know, try to step back yeah. and say, okay, I don't get it, but I will try. And that yeah. would reduce a one layer of stress that is then exacerbating your
right.
issues.
Right.
So that's
you're
what
hitting
I would put
it on
there.
The head. And like, you know, at the end of every talk that I do, even in the tech world, I remember telling the story that, which you'll hear when my other talks come out, like on YouTube and stuff. But I tell this story about my friend in high school. Her grandmother had Alzheimer's and was in a home forever. And I remember being like, you know, this is why grandma won't go into the, you know, go peacefully into the night, because her mom would always be there, like brushing her hair and doing her makeup and kind of just sustaining her. And then after like 5 years, she sat up, put her hands on her daughter's face and said, just be nice, and then passed away. So my point is, like, that is the point of life, is just be nice. And so that encompasses all of this stuff. In business, just be nice. You know, in a relationship, just be nice. And that, I think, is the baseline to empathy. If you're just nice, and then you deal with your problem or deal with the issue from that, mm-hmm. then everything else is solved, because you can still be nice and be a little assertive. I mean, there's been times where I've been called aggressive, but really not. Really, it was just making sure I was protecting yeah. myself in business, because there is definitely a fine line, and because then people have used it against me, especially in relationships. But even in professional stuff, I think, back when I wasn't as, you know, open and honest about it, you know, when I was running the computer repair business, I was in a lot of denial. Like, I was drinking every day, in the middle of the day. I was so stressed out. It was just a mess. But that's a problem that I would say you need to stay away from, those people that you know that they are self-destructing. And
right.
it could be, because alcoholism and all of that is still a mental illness. So if you have a feeling about somebody that maybe isn't taking care of themselves, then I would say there's no empathy for that. Don't do business with them, because yes. it's destructive.
Well, and we've talked about, I personally have had two examples in the last week
yes.
where you, there is, as the sitting at the top of your company or having employees or even just dealing with other business owners
yes.
that aren't delivering, there is a way to keep kind and respectful
yes.
and still deliver your message,
right.
which is,
right.
you know, if it's, this is unacceptable to an employee, or if it's, you didn't follow through and do what you say you were going to do.
Right.
You know, it's part of the foundations of my company is respect at all times.
Right.
And kindness and thoughtfulness, and you can still maintain that integrity.
Yeah.
And get your point across. There is never an excuse.
Right.
To be disrespectful or harmful to each other.
Exactly.
So the message of just be kind, you know, it is a cop-out for anyone listening to sit there and say, you guys are full of shit.
Right.
There are times where you need to give a beat down or a bitch slap or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, like,
totally.
Bullshit.
Right.
I just did it.
Yeah.
And I got my point across.
Yep.
And I didn't harm anyone.
Yep.
And I maintained control of the situation.
Yep.
And I can tell you that had the person on the other end of that receiving message had mental health issues,
yep.
I de-escalated while still being, you know, affirmative and getting my point across.
Right.
And I did not push buttons in a way I didn't need to.
Right.
So it is possible.
It is possible. And it just all boils down to being kind. But when it comes to business, you're always going to run that risk. Like I said, just the ability to know that you want to and need to be empathetic to people in general, you're going to mitigate a lot of that. Now, there might come a time where you can't just choose not to do business with someone. Where you have to, for whatever reason, that this person or this group of people are involved in some sort of project or whatever, that you don't really have a choice. It's kind of how I looked at the corporate world. Like, I didn't have a choice when my company, reorged and I was put under this, hose beast of a boss. Like, I didn't have an option. Like, there was no other option. So I quit after 7 years and making six figures. And that's the universe telling me to do that. But like, there's obviously going to be times where you can't really choose that situation. And those are the times where you need to deploy like all the empathy you can possibly deploy, but also keep yourself protected, because you don't want to absorb all of that. I have a lot of people in my life, and you're one of those that I always kind of look to, that's, you're just very level-headed, but you also know, you're very introspective. Like, you're the kind of people that somebody like me should be around. And so, I always talk to my audience as the people that are listening that, kind of struggle and are really working toward that self-awareness and, living successfully with this. Those are the people that I'm trying to get to. I said this way early on, that if you're like comfortable in your little sad depression blanket, then this is not the podcast for you, And so you have to surround yourself with people, especially in business, that are level-headed, that understand where you're coming from, that want to know you. Like, that's been huge for me, is just the fact that like, you, and there's other people too in my life that like want to know me, and you want to like be a part of my life regardless. And there has come times where I've had issues where I've snapped at people, and because I've been open about it, it's almost like a precursor. Like, I already let you know that I have this, that this mm-hmm. might happen.
Right.
And I just feel like that's the way to be in life, especially in business, is to be upfront, to communicate, and to understand everybody's going to have something. We've all got something.
Well, yeah, mental health or not, we all have shortcomings.
Right.
And I do think it's important for all of us, mental health or not, to have a community. And I will challenge those listening that are thinking about, should I be open about it or not? I think we together are a perfect example that you have been so courageous to come out and say that. And that has not changed my view. I don't see you as someone with mental health. I don't even knowing everything. I still see you as someone I respect, someone who has a very high skill set, someone who can deliver. And so don't be concerned that everyone in your sphere will see you as like a crutch, something wrong with you.
Right.
I think that if those are the people, then you need to take a closer look at who you're surrounding yourself with.
Exactly. Because,
you're talking about books. I mean, one of them that I want to read, but I've heard a lot about, and I still, without having read it yet, consider it, is We Are, of the five people that we keep around us, and so I am very mindful and each of us should be, of who is around us and who are we allowing to influence our lives.
Right. Exactly.
And be more careful about that, especially as an entrepreneur, because it can get lonely, and in no one is going to do it for you.
Right.
We have to be willing to reach out, and we have to be willing to say, let's support each other let's communicate, and let's knock ideas. And, I've got a challenge today. Help me through it. Or, tomorrow's your day, and just be there for each other, because, it's just like helping everyone.
When we talk for an hour, and I joke about it because, whenever we get on the phone, it's usually an hour conversation, but that's what
has to happen because
it's our hour session.
And you know what? We're not paying $50,000 for a business coach. We're just fucking calling each other. Like, this happened today and this happened today. And then it's like a referral based thing. And, you know, we're lucky because
new
we live
business.
In, it's new business, you know, like
the Brooke and Tevia coach.
Exactly.
Call us. We're taking,
it's only
clients.
50 grand. You can pay us through Venmo and no problem. We'll coach you through it. Yeah. That is totally a new business. But it is those people you surround yourself with.
Well, and if you've been sitting here and you're, you know, 40 plus minutes into this, you know, make sure that you are supporting this podcast. It's so important because what Brooke is doing for the community as a whole, and I mean that as both mental health, you know, challenges, those who have them and those who do not, because we all are in the same community.
Yeah.
And support the podcast. I do, you know, it's important. And it is, look at those statistics. It is a part of our life and you have to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
And this is important. And we just have to keep, you know, putting our support where it needs to be.
Thanks, Tab. You're the best. It is very nice to know when the people in my life are supportive because this is scary shit. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. When I spent those few hours at the college talking to those kids, like I had to take the rest of the day off. It's exhausting to talk about this stuff.
Well, and I think that's another thing about entrepreneurship that people underestimate is it takes a lot of legwork to get out and make the connections that turn into business.
Right.
And you may think of it from the outside perspective that you're just out networking. Well, what is networking? Or you're just out socializing.
Right.
Let me tell you what. It's a totally different ballgame. I can sit and talk to you as my friend and we just talk about life and we're not, you know, in a way selling ourselves or our business.
Right.
That's a different piece. And I don't leave tired.
Right.
But even for myself, and I can imagine, you know, again, the higher level you go through is, man, when I've had a couple hours of networking, which is not just social time because you have to be on point. You have to be, you know, coming up with questions or you have to be answering questions. You have to be on point and you really have to be selling yourself and your company and what you do and what you believe in. And that is mentally exhausting.
The fucking BNI today. I just left there. That was so exhausting for me. If I hadn't been, you know, I've sort
but
of
really
conditioned
good.
Myself.
Go BNI.
No, it was really good. There were so many people and, you know, people use the word social anxiety. That's not necessarily, that is definitely a thing. But for somebody like me, that was, it can be such sensory overload where
absolutely.
I get very manic and, you know,
even
have to
without
take
the dinger.
Right? That was
God. Add the dinger.
Yeah, but you get like 30 seconds to tell your story and there was so many people there, so they time it. Well, they time it anyway, but like everybody was hitting the timer and I'm like, oh my God, if that thing goes off one more time. But it can just be sensory overload. And especially when you're, you know, known a little bit, like I knew quite a few people there, everyone coming up at you, physically, literally coming at you. And you know, I'm such a tall, huge presence that sometimes it's like they're all sort of surrounding me and you know, it's really overwhelming for somebody like me, really overwhelming to the point of like, you know, sometimes I am in denial because I just have to go. Like, I know what I have to do. Yeah. I have to go, go, go.
Well, and that's actually something else to keep in mind as an entrepreneur or someone interested in entrepreneurship, which is, you know, our goal of what we're talking about today, is when you are at those networkings and you don't have anything like this that you're going through.
Right.
Recognize if you see someone else in the room that you see pulling away or having an issue.
Right.
You know, don't write them off that they might not have a skill set or product or service that you would benefit from.
Right.
Get their information. And, you know, I think most people, including myself, do better on a one-to-one basis.
Yes.
And if they have something that interests you or that you may need or someone you know may need, give them a shot and meet with them individually and reach out to them. And we all really need to be more open to each other because, you know, at the end of the day, they may blow your socks off when they're comfortable and they're not overloaded. So if you just say, oh, that person stood in the corner at the networking and they really didn't, but they do this service that I actually need, or I know some of my clients need, you know, don't just write them off.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll be different in a different setting.
Right.
And give them a shot, look at their work, and again, just
yeah, like that
way.
Whole, like, don't judge a book by their cover.
Right.
Or, you know, and on the other token, somebody who may be living with mental illness and, you know, you really have to gauge, you know, today I got quite a few cards and people like requesting to have a meeting with me. And I actually had to go through with Tevya and our other friend and say, well, what about this person? What about this person? And just kind of get the lay of it, because I don't necessarily need to meet with every person. And I need to know, am I going to, and I bounce it off people who know me and say, you know, this person may not, you know, be the best choice. And then you have to make a decision. Like, I have boundaries, and my boundaries are probably a little more firm, I guess, than somebody like you. Like, you'd probably be able to just go and meet with anybody and then determine then, like, yeah, this isn't, you know, doesn't work. But I may be triggered right off the bat, and like, that doesn't help anybody. So you living with mental illness and, you know, trying and still on this process of becoming self-aware, just remember that you have to respect your boundaries, even if that means you gave up that piece of business. You just have to respect your boundaries, or you're going to be so screwed that you wouldn't even be able to do the next piece of business. So
I would actually say, for people with, you know, battling mental health issues that are looking at going into business, is to take that as a takeaway too, is all of us in business, we have to be willing to walk away from business that is not healthy for us or not long term. It's not a good fit. Not every person out there is going to be the right fit for you.
Right.
I think it's even more important for, you know, you and others to even have, like you said, be more rigid about that line, because your triggers are more severe,
right?
Or you know, there are more of them, and so it's that much more important to say, I can't chase the dollar. I have to get the right fit around me. My community is important. How the client's going to interact with me is important. So that's a huge takeaway, I think, is make sure that that sphere of community includes your clients and your business partners, that you don't allow unhealthiness for you, because we all have to pay those bills. I promise you, Brooke can speak to this. I'm sure she already has another podcast, that sometimes you have to walk away, even if it seems like it's gonna, you know, wreck your mortgage payment. And you do it anyway, and you figure it out. And I am a big believer in projecting what you need. And, you know, you have to be a player in your universe. The universe is not just going to drop things in your lap. But if you are doing the right actions to step out and to say, this is what I need, and I'm going to take actions towards that, that those things will come to light. You know, but don't mishear me. We can't sit on our couch and say, universe, drop $2,000 in my lap. You know, just say, I had to walk away from this client, or whomever, business partner, you know, business referral source, because they're unhealthy for me. Go out knowing that what you need, and go find a different source. Easier said than done, but we still, as entrepreneurs, have to get it done for one reason or another.
Yeah. I love that, because I talk about, you know, how I saved me. This whole idea of, like, you know, in the religious world, and I understand that it's a comes as a comfort to say, give it to God. I'm not disrespecting that. I'm just saying, like, and this whole, like, you know, law of attraction. If you actually watch that movie, The Law of Attraction, which was what, like 15 years ago that it came out, there's one guy in there that says, like, well, you can't just, like, sit around, you know, waiting for something to happen. They're going to come for the furniture. Meaning, like, you know, if you have the furniture on finance or whatever, they're going to come for it. And I remember thinking that, like, yeah, this shit works, but you, and even Gary Vaynerchuk said it today. I posted that, like, there's no such thing as passive income. Like, you have to work. And so if you want to do it this way, and you have mental illness, and you're trying to, like, you know, navigate it all, then you just need to be more aware than anybody else. It really does boil down to that. Like,
well, just like back what we said, you almost, in a way, if you're going to be so honest about this, and and that people might have whatever opinion they have.
Right.
In a way, it makes you feel like you have to over deliver.
Exactly.
You know, or
yes,
or just whatever, because you don't want to worry about that.
Right.
You know,
and I don't want so many of my clients are actually friend turned client. And I don't want, you know, obviously there is a personal aspect. There's a mixture of certain things, or, you know, we're all like in this business community together. So a lot of us just know each other. And so, you know, I worry all the time that something's going to come up and it's going to, you know, throw this thing off and throw this thing off. But it really does boil down to who you have in your corner and whether or not those people stand up for you and support you, then nothing else matters.
Yeah, I do think that entrepreneurship is just another level. And what I mean by that is in your personal life, mental illness or not, we have to have a support community. Those who don't, look at Back to the Joker. Those who don't, struggle more.
Right.
And those who do, get through things, you know, because they have others to lean on.
Right.
When you go into entrepreneurship, you same thing on steroids.
Right.
You know, you have to find a community to lean on. Not that you can't make it on your own without that. Many people have.
Right.
But I guarantee that your road will be harder.
Absolutely.
And it will be more, even more stressful. And it will be just, you know, why would you do it that way when there are people out there that will help?
Right.
And go for, you know, go find it. Go find your support system. Reach out to us, you know? Whatever. and you know, if you have comments or questions about, you know, doing entrepreneurship with mental illness or examples or questions about it, you know, that this isn't your experience like myself. I open myself up to this to learn more about it. And, you know, if we've missed something that you think is important, you know, put it in. I want to learn more. I want to take your example in, you know, and be open to that and think about it and take it along with us. And
it's a good idea. And I am going to put a contact form in there with just questions that you want answered. I think this is a really good way of getting the information out. And there's still going to be times where, you know, I just talk about things that I want to talk about, but I love the idea of having questions and answering them, because that's the whole point of this, is to get to the people who don't necessarily know what this is like. So,
well, and yeah, what do you need? What hasn't been covered? You know, listen to all the podcasts. They're important. And give Brooke ideas, you know, give her more content ideas of what's going to keep you listening. And then, of course, like I said before, if you are finding value out of this, you know, support it, because nothing that we do stays around like, you know, supporting the people we believe in. And
she means financially. I'll put a link to that too.
Financially and every other way you can think of, you know, give her reviews, whatever. Yep. I mean, put it out there. And if you, you know, need help, you know, support those around you.
Exactly.
So
I'm so grateful, Tevye. Thank you so much for doing this. Like, it just means so much that people want to be a part of this and that are so proud of me. I really thought it would just be me sitting in a podcast, you know, sitting in the closet doing a podcast by myself. And it's turning
into
something.
We are not in the closet.
No, we're not in the closet. We came out of the closet for this. Sitting in a office. Hopefully there's not too much echo, but.
And if you are one of us that, you know, you feel like you have it figured out and you're doing good, I mean, don't forget, we need to give back to our community.
Yeah.
You know, and who is around 100%. You that you can do something great for, you know, whether it's being supportive or, you know, sponsorship dollars or whatever it is. Don't just be a taker if you're having challenges. Find a way to give back, because anytime I've ever had challenges, when I start focusing on others and giving anyway, even though it's hard, I guarantee you it makes my challenges go away that much faster than just focusing on what's wrong in my world.
Right. So. And like just sitting there by yourself going, well, I, you know, I just have to figure this out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like having those other stories and understanding what other people are going through. Yeah. It's really huge. So
giving back helps ourselves a lot. So,
it does.
But thank you for having me.
Yay.
Thank you for educating me.
It's my pleasure. And I'm so glad you're in my life.
It. Well,
so,
me too.
Thank you for listening. We love you. And I hope that you take care of yourselves and each other.